All right, so today we're diving into something a little bit different. It's a novel this time.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, we've got Everything is Poison by
Oh,
Joy McCullough.
okay.
It was published just this year, and it takes us back to 17th century Rome.
Wow.
Yeah, specifically to the Campo Marzio district. So imagine a world without modern medicine
Right.
and where the apothecary is like the heart of the community,
Yeah,
you know?
definitely.
Yeah. And this is not just any apothecary. It's run by Giulia Tofana.
Okay.
And she becomes kind of this legend in this really bustling neighborhood.
So what's really fascinating about McCullough's approach is that she weaves this story around like a historical figure,
Right.
and she kind of blurs the lines between fact and fiction.
Yeah, it definitely makes you curious, you
Yeah.
know? I mean, we're talking about an apothecary that provides more than just, you know, your average remedies. There's a darker side to this shop,
What?
a secret that draws women from all walks of life.
That's where it gets really, really interesting. The novel dives into the lives of all these different women,
Yeah.
each facing their own struggles in a society that doesn't give them a lot of agency.
Right.
And so Julia's apothecary becomes like a haven, a
Yeah.
place where they can seek solutions outside of, the confines of the law.
And we experience all of this through the eyes of Carmela,
Yeah.
who is Julia's daughter.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. Initially, she's pretty naive about the whole family business.
Right.
She's more interested in like the colorful jars and all the activity and the people coming and going.
Sure. Yeah.
Yeah.
But as she grows older, she starts to uncover these secrets that are hidden within those walls.
Yeah.
That back room of the apothecary becomes a place of mystery
Yeah.
where Julia and her trusted companions, Maria and Laura,
Right.
concoct their remedies.
Okay.
And some of those remedies, let's just say they're not found in any traditional herbals.
That's what really hooked me. You get these glimpses of like everyday life in the apothecary.
Yeah.
You know, women are coming in seeking cures for their headaches or, you know, love potions to mend their broken hearts.
Right.
Feels so real, you know?
It does, yeah. And it's really relatable, but then
Yeah.
there's this undercurrent of danger,
Yeah.
this knowledge that something more sinister is brewing beneath the surface.
Right.
McCullough just does a fantastic job of building the suspense. It's
The reeling.
reeling just enough to keep you like on the edge of your seat.
Okay, so we've got this seemingly ordinary apothecary,
Yeah.
but there's a secret, and that secret is Acqua Tofana.
Exactly. Acqua Tofana. It's a poison very carefully crafted by Julia.
Yeah.
And it's specifically for women who are trapped in abusive marriages.
Wow.
So this is where the novel really starts to dive into some complex moral questions.
Is it mercy? Is it justice? Is
Yeah.
it murder? I mean, how far would you go to protect yourself
Right.
or someone that you love in a world where the law offers no protection?
Yeah, the novel doesn't shy away from these questions, and it forces you to consider the limited options that women had during that era.
Right.
So, Julia's creation of Acqua Tofana is like a direct response to that lack of agency.
And then we have Signora Moretti,
Right.
who becomes kind of a pivotal character in this story.
Yeah.
She's seemingly well off, but behind closed doors, she is suffering at the hands of her husband.
Her interaction with the apothecary,
Yeah.
particularly with Carmela, is
Yeah.
a turning point
Oh,
in
definitely.
the novel.
Yeah.
It forces Carmela to kind of confront the reality of what her mother does
Yeah.
and, what the potential consequences could be.
It's such a powerful scene.
Oh,
You know,
is.
Carmela's innocence starts to crumble as
Yes.
she grapples with the weight of this secret
Right.
and, you know, the dangerous world that her family inhabits.
And that's where McCullough really excels at character development. You
Yeah.
see Carmela grow.
Yeah.
Her perceptions shift as she becomes more involved in, the apothecary's darker side.
And then just when things start to heat up, Julia makes a decision that changes everything. She decides to flee,
Wow.
leaving Carmela to run the apothecary in her absence.
Talk about pressure.
Yeah.
Now, Carmela is not only dealing with this moral dilemma of Acqua Tofana,
Right.
but she also has to navigate the complexities of running a business
Oh my
in
God.
17th century Rome.
I know.
And let's just say it's not all sunshine and roses.
You can just feel that tension building, you know,
You can't.
as Carmela steps into her mother's shoes,
Yes.
and it makes you wonder, will she be able to handle it?
Right.
Will she make the same choices as Julia?
That's what keeps you turning the pages,
Yeah.
The McCullough creates these moments of doubt,
Yeah.
these glimpses of Carmela's vulnerability, even as she's stepping into a position of power. And it's not just you know, the pressure of like running the business.
Right.
Remember, there's a whole network of people.
Oh, yeah.
Connected to the apothecary.
Right.
Each with their own secrets and motivations.
Right. Like Signor Russo, the landlord.
Yeah.
Who seems to know a little more than he lets on.
Right.
And then there's that whole mystery surrounding the mandrake shortage.
Ah, the mandrake.
Yeah.
It's a key ingredient in so many of Julia's remedies, but suddenly it's become like incredibly difficult to obtain.
Right.
Yeah. And the reason behind the shortage is far from ordinary.
Yeah, it definitely adds another layer of intrigue to the whole story.
Yeah.
You get the sense that, you know, this incident is connected to something much larger.
Right.
Maybe even dangerous.
Exactly. It's like peeling back the layers of an onion. The deeper you go, the more you realize there's this whole hidden world operating just beneath the surface of everyday life in Rome.
And it's not just about like the physical ingredients or the remedies themselves.
Right.
You know, it's about knowledge.
Yeah.
And who holds it and how it's used.
Yes.
Remember that scene where Julia talks about love potions?
Oh, that's a brilliant scene.
Yeah.
On the surface, it seems like she's just talking about these like harmless concoctions.
Yeah.
But then she reveals a much deeper truth.
It's like she's saying, sure, these potions might not have any like magical properties.
Right.
But the belief that they instill can be powerful.
Yes.
You know.
And especially in a society where women's choices are so limited.
Exactly.
It really makes you think about the different ways that people seek control.
Right.
Even in the most constrained of circumstances.
Yeah.
And it also highlights Julia's understanding of human nature.
Yeah. And then, of course, there's that pivotal moment when Carmela discovers the truth about Acqua Tofana.
Yes.
Not just its purpose.
Right.
But how it's made.
It's like a veil is lifted.
Yeah.
And she sees her mother in a whole new light.
Yeah.
And it's both terrifying and enlightening.
Right.
You know, it forces Carmela to grapple with the weight of her family's legacy.
And that conversation between Carmela and Julia after the discovery is so raw.
So emotionally charged.
It is.
It reveals so much about Julia's past.
Right.
The abuse that she suffered.
Yeah.
And how it shaped her into the woman she became.
It adds this layer of complexity to her character.
Right.
You know, you realize she's not just some cold, calculating figure.
Right.
She's a woman.
Yeah.
Driven by her own pain.
Uh-huh.
Her own desire to protect others from experiencing that same trauma.
It makes you question everything you thought you knew about her.
Yes.
And then, of course, there's that sudden turn of events that forces Julia to flee.
That's where the tension really ramps up.
I know.
Suddenly, the danger feels much more immediate.
Uh-huh.
Not just for Julia, but for Carmela.
Right.
Maria and Laura as well.
You start to see the cracks appearing.
Yeah.
You know that paranoia setting in the notary Niccolò Tassi and Father Piero become increasingly suspicious.
Right.
Of the apothecary's activities.
And it's not just the authorities that they have to worry about.
Remember that incident with Laura?
Oh, yeah.
How she's attacked in the street?
That's when it becomes clear that the danger is real.
Yes.
That they're not operating in the shadows anymore.
It makes you wonder who their real enemies are.
Right.
Is it the men who abuse their wives?
Yes.
Is it the authorities who turn a blind eye to those abuses?
Uh-huh.
Or is it the fear and suspicion that permeates society?
Right.
Silencing women and preventing them from seeking help.
And in the midst of all this chaos, we get these glimpses into the lives of other women.
Yes.
Whose paths intersect with the apothecary.
Like Nina, struggling with motherhood.
Right.
And feeling completely unseen by her husband.
And then there's Eleonora.
Yes.
A young woman injured while working in the city.
Uh-huh.
Seeking solace and healing.
It just reinforces the idea that the apothecary is more than just a place to buy remedies. It's a sanctuary. A place where women's stories converge and their struggles are acknowledged.
And through these interactions, we see Carmela evolving.
We do.
You know, she's learning not just about herbs and potions,
right,
but about the strength and resilience of women in the face of adversity.
It's like she's absorbing the wisdom of generations.
Yeah.
You know, becoming a part of something much bigger than herself.
And then there's that scene, that powerful moment when she takes charge. And she says, you know, tonight I'm La Tofana.
It sends chills down your spine.
It does.
It's like she's embracing her destiny.
Yeah.
Stepping into the role her mother was forced to abandon.
Right.
But you also get the sense that she's going to do things her own way.
Exactly.
It sets the stage for what promises to be an incredible climax.
Yeah.
It makes you wonder, what will become of Carmela?
Right.
And what about the other women in her life?
Yeah.
Will they find their own forms of power and agency?
Yeah.
In this world that seems determined to keep them silent?
It feels like McCullough is setting us up for a story that's about so much more than just poison and revenge.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
The novel explores those themes, but it's also about,
yeah,
you know, women supporting each other,
hmm,
the bonds they form in the face of adversity.
Yeah, you see that so clearly in those scenes.
Yes.
Where they're working together in the apothecary,
mm,
they're bickering, they're gossiping,
yeah,
they're sharing their burdens. It just feels so authentic.
It does.
Like a glimpse into this hidden world.
And it's not just, you know, the main characters.
Right.
McCullough gives us these glimpses into the lives of, you know, other women.
Yeah.
Each facing their own challenges.
Like the miller's daughter.
Yes.
Who finds, you know, a brief moment of happiness.
Right.
Working for the baker, only to have it ripped away.
It's heartbreaking, but it also speaks to, like,
yeah,
the pervasiveness of these societal structures.
Yeah.
That limited women's choices regardless of their social standing.
And then there are those subtle hints scattered throughout the book.
Yes.
Suggesting that there's this wider network of women,
uh-huh,
operating in different towns, connected by their knowledge of herbs and healing.
It's like there's this whole underground movement.
Yeah.
A silent resistance,
yes,
to the limitations imposed on them.
I'm already eager to see what McCullough does next.
Me too.
I mean, from what we've discussed, it's clear that this novel is more than just a historical thriller.
Right.
It's a conversation starter.
Yeah.
You know, a challenge to our assumptions about history and justice and the power of women's stories.
It definitely leaves you with a lot to ponder.
Yeah.
In a society where justice is often elusive, what responsibility do we have to protect each other?
Right.
Where do we draw the line between right and wrong?
Yeah.
When the law fails to protect the vulnerable?
And ultimately, how do we create a world where women can thrive?
Right.
Without resorting to desperate measures. I mean, I think that's a question we're still grappling with today.
Absolutely. The novel's themes,
yeah,
resonate with us even centuries later.
Hmm.
It reminds us that the past is never truly past.
Right.
And the echoes of these women's lives, their struggles and their triumphs, continue to shape our present.
If you're looking for a book that will challenge you,
uh-huh,
and move you and stay with you long after you turn that last page,
yes,
then I highly recommend Everything is Poison.
Absolutely.
It's a story about resilience, about the bonds of sisterhood, and the enduring power of the human spirit in the face of oppression.
And who knows, it might even spark your curiosity,
yeah,
about, you know, the hidden histories,
right,
lurking beneath the surface of your own community.
Yeah.
You never know what secrets are waiting to be uncovered.
Thanks for joining us for this deep dive into Everything is Poison.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
We hope you found it as intriguing as we did.
I did.
And remember, keep exploring, keep questioning, and keep diving deep.